Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Grumpy Hippie Wellness Vegan Warrior, not quite decided on the name yet, podcast. Going to do a quick one today, and first of all, just with the week I've had at the moment, I just want to talk about a few easy hacks to potentially deal with or help deal with stress. Because office jobs, you sit down, you get stressed, you can't punch anything, you can't release stress in your body, and then it builds up, you build up resentment, and it's not good for you. So if you can find a way of releasing that energy positively, do some yoga or some exercise, that's the obvious one. To deal with the muscle tension, there's a range of foods or even supplements you can use which are really, really beneficial. It's not just hype behind it, they do work. Magnesium's the first one I'd say. There's loads of research on magnesium. 80% of the American population or United States is allegedly deficient in magnesium. That's the first one to look at. It's great muscle relaxant, it's great for stress. If you do live in America, kava. It's got tons of research behind it. That's really relaxing, really good muscle relaxant as well. There's different strains of it. Some you don't want to be taking first thing in the morning because you will be knackered all day then. And then the other thing is getting enough vitamin D or sunlight. So get yourself a sad lamp or just supplement with vitamin D. Bless you.
Sorry.
That's another easy win potentially. And I'm trying to think of any other supplements that are good for stress. Adaptogens, that's what I was thinking of. Adaptogens, have a look at those. Rhodiola rosea is a good one, and ashwagandha. So there's just a few quick tips off the top of my head. Guest today is sneezing in the corner. It's Joanna Campbell-Griffiths. Some great credentials. Basically, she's a busy mother of two and a teacher. So we're going to ask Jo about cooking and how to eat healthily when you're busy and time and money is rather, well, potentially restricted. Jo, what are your top tips on providing healthy meals when you're busy, basically?
Well, the first one probably is using a slow cooker if you've got.
Slow cooker.
Especially when I'm working, to get up just 10 minutes earlier just to prepare some veg or put stuff in the slow cooker.
Slow cooker, I like it.
Makes life a lot easier.
Is that the thing that went on fire in that My Family series?
I don't know, I didn't watch that one, sorry.
Oh.
Just get one that doesn't go on fire. Batch cooking, if you've got a freezer large enough, when I cook a bolognese or a curry or a chilli, I try and cook it in almost like double the, you know, the quantity, so that I can portion it up and put it in the freezer. So then I know that if I'm running late, or as you know, life as a parent always doesn't go to plan. You know, you've always got a few backup meals in the freezer ready.
What do you do with the baby when you? Do you give it to your husband or? When you're trying to cook, yeah. What, just put him in a sling. Just stick him on the side.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, it depends what I'm cooking. Because, you know, you've got to be careful about having a baby near the oven and
dropping him in.
Well, you know, splashes and things like that. Yeah. It depends what point of the cooking you're on. Yeah, if I have to sort of plan ahead these days now. You know, I've got a little 8-week-old boy. So it's being prepared, knowing what you want to cook in advance.
Meal planning,
if you can, is great. You can start to, you're starting to stir a little bit now. So I know if he's gone down for a nap, if I want to, say if I'm doing sweet potato fries or even want roast potatoes that evening, I'll prepare them as soon as he's gone for sleep, and then I'll keep him in a bowl of water.
Yeah.
And so then bung them in the oven when I want them.
So you just have to do bit by bit.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Myself and my daughter, we made a cake the other day, and it was literally doing what we can in between naps. So like you had the three, we had three sections of the cake, and then the filling, and then the decoration on top. So it took three bits throughout the afternoon.
Series of three.
To get it done. It's just being patient and being kind to yourself as well, and yeah, having those backups. Soup is a great one to do, because you can chuck anything in that.
In a big pan.
Just chuck it in a big pan. It doesn't have to. You don't have to have a fancy soup maker. I've just got a handheld blender, and even sometimes, you know, if I've got a load of veg left over from a meal, I'll chuck that in and blend it up.
Stock cubes. Just cook it and then blend it at the end.
Yeah, chuck whatever you want in.
Stock cubes.
Stock cubes. Yeah. I of course get like the gluten free ones for yourself.
Oh yeah.
But they don't, you know, they don't have to be fancy ones. Try different ones, cheap ones, and test the flavour out, really.
Tell you what my trick is. Just eating intermittent fasting between 12 PM and 8 PM. Because I have ate a lot of crap recently, but I don't think I've put any body fat on. Just because of that. Eating between 12 and 8 is quite hard to eat enough calories. And it does help with like bloating and things. It does help if you eat between those hours, but then you still go, if you eat anything too stodgy and stuff, it does still affect me. But that's an easy hack if you're struggling with your diet and you're dead busy. Don't eat anything obviously terrible for you, like cans of Coke and any rubbish like that. But just eat between 12 and 8. It's when you sit down in the evenings and watch TV that people tend to eat loads of crap.
Yeah, it's in the evening which catches you out. So I've tried to get back into the habit of, I know it doesn't sound very exciting, but like carrots and hummus or rice cakes and hummus and things like that.
Got to wait for your palate changes, doesn't it, once you get used to it. You got to stick with it for probably 6 weeks or so, and then your gut bacteria and gut flora and everything changes. So when you're on the keto diet, your first month or so, you crave loads of sugar, and then you don't fancy any after couple of months, because your body just stops craving it.
When I'm in work, I tend to eat quite a lot of fruit, and being at home, I haven't done that. It sounds bizarre. So I need, because I'm, I think because I have my snack with the children, so I
don't know when to.
So it's picking that up again, really. And then what I found really useful lately is we go through quite a lot of cereal bars.
Yeah.
But they're not. We try and get the healthier sort of end of the range.
Home Bargains.
Yeah, they do some quite good organic stuff, don't they? Well, these ones, are they organic? I can't remember. They're dairy.
It's just fruit, isn't it? So
the ingredient. If you look at the ingredients on the package, they're quite basic. There's nothing. My sort of.
Lots of date syrup.
Yeah.
Quite sugary, but.
But my sort of rule of thumb. I've tried to do. It's been difficult lately with, because I'm breastfeeding my little boy, and you get so hungry, you just want to literally eat anything that is close to hand. You just want, you're just carbing up because you're burning off an extra 500 calories a day. So you just want to eat. So it's then getting out of that habit again of just not eating rubbish. But my rule of thumb is, if I'm looking at a packet of something, if I don't know what that ingredient is, with those ingredients with massively long names.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't put it in my body.
Yeah.
So try and go for as simple things as possible.
The next step is just eating straight from scratch, isn't it? But yeah. I suppose the second best is just, if it's not whole food, it's at least you know what's in it.
Like I didn't tend to sort of read the list of ingredients as much, but being married to somebody who can't have dairy and is not great with wheat, you still have to start checking all the ingredients for things, and then you sort of get fed up. It takes too long in the supermarket, so it's easier to cook from. You get a bit more used to cooking from scratch, and it's a bit more rewarding as well. And it doesn't take that long, really, once you're savvy to it and what you need. And
yeah,
I think it's planning. It doesn't have to be fancy things. Even just getting, I know, like Asda. They do a great deal on frozen salmon. You can buy like a bag of 10, something like, I don't know, it's like 10 fillets for like £8. And they're not farmed either. It's
wild
salmon fillets, which
as to being the UK equivalent of Walmart.
Yeah. Which is, it's really good not value for
as
money.
Not quite as good as Walmart, but.
And their fish pie mix as well is like a line cut. I try and avoid farmed fish if
yeah, it's full of antibiotics.
If possible.
Crap, isn't it?
And it's the process of what they actually need to look after those fish. It's quite a lot of resources needed, like food-wise, to feed the fish. There's a big campaign at the moment I was following on Twitter about farm fish. I've gone off course now. What was I saying? Oh, I was trying to say about the cereal bars I've started making again and using chia seeds, because chia seeds are really good. They really fill you up. So if you can make your own cereal bars.
Good fibre. Chia seeds.
I use a Deliciously Ella recipe for that. It's a bit faffy because you have to cook the dates and in coconut oil and, you know, leave the chia seeds in water to form a gel. And then you have to blitz the dates to make a nice smooth paste. But it is worth it because, yeah, they're very filling. And you get quite a lot of bars out of it. How many did I get? About 20, is it?
Yeah, something like that.
20 bars, so it's...
Yeah.
Which you seem to devour in like a day.
Well, I'll have to put a link to the cookbook and on our blog in the podcast notes. Because I didn't like most of those recipes. They're pretty...
I like them.
Horrific. Some they're all tomato-based as well. I can't really... Because I get bad acid reflux.
There are some good ones.
Yeah.
So I quite like tofu. So it's good for me. But there's another one I've come across called tempeh.
That pastry stuff.
No, it's apparently it's really good for you, but I can't remember why. Sorry. But I've only seen it in one supermarket so far, but only as a marinated. I want it in just the, and you can use it in.
Gnocchi, I was thinking of that time.
So it's.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I have to look at that.
Yeah, have a look. I was going to use, because you can like fry it off and put it in stir fries and all sorts of different things, and apparently it's a lot of health benefits to it.
Hmm.
High in protein, that was it. I was looking for things high in protein.
Oh, vegan, is it?
Yeah.
No, not Noki. Tempeh.
Yeah.
Tiny tempeh.
So. It's just, because you know, if you're not a fan of tofu, especially when you're vegan, you've got to be aware of protein in your diet and making sure you've got your iron and B12. So it's being savvy about it, isn't it?
I think if you are struggling preparation time and everything, the thing I try and do to make my diet kind of healthy would be cheat a bit and just have spirulina every day, turmeric with a bit of black pepper every day, and my garlic or allicin tablet, or crush some garlic and eat that. If you want, the most beneficial part of garlic is the allicin, which gets released when it's crushed. So if you do get a garlic tablet, you want one specifically that's got allicin in it, or crush your garlic, leave it 20 minutes before you cook it. They've got broccoli sprouts as well, a pretty strong antioxidant.
I think that's like fine for an adult trying to get a child to sort of...
Oh yeah, it's just for a few... I don't know, if let's say you're like a salesman, you're on the road all the time and you're just looking for an easy way. But it's just a bit... Spirulina is not nice, turmeric's not nice. You just got to neck it and just...
I think for any sort of family, the variety, the wider variety of food you can give them before they're one...
That neophobia thing, isn't it?
Like, don't get me wrong, our daughter now, she's 3.5 and she likes what she likes, and trying to get to do new things is difficult, and she's going through a really awkward stage of, I don't like that anymore. It makes meal times very difficult, whereas, you know, one time she would have devoured a bean chili or quite happily eaten the chickpeas out of a curry sauce. Now she's...
Decides she doesn't like it.
Yeah, now she's... I think because she gets tired and just being... being a typical three-nager. If I'd let her, she'd probably have beans on toast and a poached egg every day. But on the whole, you know, she'll have fish and sweet potatoes and rice and pasta and quinoa down her, don't we, and some salad-y stuff.
Because she was introduced to those foods before she was one, and she's less likely to... Well, she's more likely to stick to them after she's one, whereas if she didn't have it before the age of one, she's highly unlikely to...
That's why breastfeeding...
They don't like new foods, so they basically have to want.
But then breastfeeding prepares them for that as well, because whatever the mother eats, there's like almost a tinge to their breast milk. So you're, after the meals, my breast milk never tastes the same. So it's preparing them for when they go on to solids. They're already having, you know, they're tasting new things all the time. So I think I'm aware of what I have in my diet. Because our little boy now...
Monster munch,
yes. That's why my child likes baked beans and hot chocolate. Vegan hot chocolate. Dairy-free hot chocolate. But it is, it's from the word go. It's from the minute they're born, you start... I don't know, it's... I've sort of learned this as I've gone along. I've been quite astounded. It's sort of like how amazing breast milk can be, and I've been, you know, lucky that I've been able to breastfeed, and I've been lucky that I've had a very supportive partner to, you know, to be with me whilst I'm breastfeeding. So no, it's not always easy for mums. It is hard. I find, even on my second, I find it really hard, but it's a sort of bigger picture as well.
Right, well, just to summarise, so if you're stressed out, magnesium, kava, and have a look at adaptogens. And then if you're trying to stay to some kind of diet and you're dead busy, eat between 12 and 8. I would say if you're not used to intermittent fasting, you want to build up gradually, because the first time I tried not eating until 12 and I nearly fainted, because obviously you get really low blood sugar levels. And spirulina, allicin tablets.
Slow cooking.
Turmeric.
Slow cooker.
Slow cooker, yeah.
Big batch cooking. You've got freezer space. And meal planning.
Meal planning. Bit jumbled there at the end, sorry. Yeah. Thanks very much. And you may have heard my 8-week-old son gurgling in the background. But yeah, until next time, laters.